Hello and welcome, everybody. This is so amazing a time in our world, and I'm so glad you've joined me today. Today, we're going to have a discussion I have not had with you before on this show. We're going to be talking about the politics of oneness. What is the politics of oneness? Well, it's a vision where we start to understand that we are completely interconnected with one another, that the collective well-being of each of us matters. And we're going to be talking about politics, you know, and how you can disconnect from maybe here's how I look at it. I'm not red and I'm not blue. And I'm not, black or white or green or yellow or brown or, you know, I am a soul and you are a soul. And when we can start to disconnect from this thinking that this is the way it is, it has to be this way and that way, you know, what's happening is that you become a slavery to whatever political analogy that you bought into. And if you're far right, far left, far middle, whatever, you have lost your point of view. You've lost your perspective. So what I want to talk about today is being able to pull that power back in, releasing, having you have more freedom, have more critical thinking, be able to step back at what you really value, right? What do we really value? Tune into your values again. Let go of fear and fiction and be able to tune into a holistic decision-making process where you can look at the all sides and understand that we're all interconnected and you can make a decision from what's highest and best for everybody. I think this talk is really today about beyond partisanship. It's really focus back on you getting rid of adversity, okay? But look at collaboration, how we can collaborate with one another to problem solve and to step into a society that works for everybody. There's other pieces to this. We could talk about ecological stewardship. Again, it comes from the thinking of oneness. You know, I asked my mentor, Irvin Laszlo. If you don't know Irvin Laszlo, Irvin has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize twice. He's written 106 books. I asked him, hey, what's the price of greatness? Now, before I tell you what he said, I want to tell you what Leonardo da Vinci said. Leonardo, one of the greatest creators of the Renaissance, said, isolation is the price of greatness. Yogananda, another one of my mentors, my teachers, my guru and sage, what does he say? Stillness is the price of greatness. Okay? Isolation and stillness. Now, what did Irvin say? Irvin said, the price of greatness is to know yourself and to live from a place of oneness. It's a deep conversation. That's the conversation we're having today. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have my guest.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, a very special guest and 30-year friend, John Maxwell Taylor. John, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to it all week so far. Yeah, it's great. And that was a very nice introduction. It's perfect.
Oh, thank you so much. And I look forward to discussing some of those topics that we just talked about. For those of you that don't know John Maxwell Taylor, he's a British-born actor, playwright, composer, and author known for his transformative performances and writings that blend psychology, spirituality, and the arts. He gained prominence in the United States for his portrait of Carl Jung in Forever Young, an award-winning one-man play he wrote in which he performed over 250 times, earning critical acclaim and Gurdjieff. Oh, Gurdjieff. Yeah, Gurdjieff Award for Best Actor.
No, I'm sorry. It's the Gurdjieff Award. These are difficult words.
Gurdjieff Award. Okay.
Gurdjieff Award. Yeah.
Well, listen, John. John's also a best-selling author. He's got several books out there. One of which we're going to discuss today. And it's awesome to have you, brother. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Very happy to be here, Ken.
Yeah, that's great, man.
So what you said in your introduction, if I could just jump in here about stillness.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, jump
my
right.
Life, after having spent 60 years as in the entertainment world, traveling all over, being on stages, breaking time zones, doing it whether I was tired or up or down, whatever, had a fantastic life experience that way as an entertainer. But now I live a life of stillness. I live here in our beautiful home in Ohio, and I have the freedom to practice the presence of the divine all day long. And my life really is about now, about him moving him from one positive state of spiritual awareness to another. And even as I'm speaking to you now, I'm doing inner work that is generating that presence and that stillness. And if we're going to talk about the things that are going on in the world today, I think it's key to remember that all that stuff is kind of foam on the wave. It's on the surface. It's not the real depth of the oceanic nature of our souls. And that's what we need to drop down into. So hopefully, as I talk to you today, I can generate some of this within myself. And some of our listeners may feel that, because presence is communicable. Consciousness is communicable. You look at someone who's in a certain state, you're going to feel it too if you're sensitively opened up enough to feel that. And I know you are.
Oh yeah, well, you know, in we're all sensitive enough to feel it. If you're listening to this right now, the way that you can tune into what John's talking about is just get quiet for a moment. And I know you might be driving your car, you might be doing something else, but listen, you can replay these and you can get in a place where you're still and you can, you know, Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the universe, understand energy, frequency, and vibration. Well, if you want to feel powerful, it's about what John just said, allowing yourself to tune in to not more information, but wisdom. Wisdom is what
wisdom.
We need.
Absolutely.
That's what we're going with here, John.
Absolutely. And another thing about this too, though, Ken, is one can also have stillness in action. In the last video interview that we did together, we talked about Aikido. And being an Aikido master is actually moved. His movements are driven by the presence, by the life energy, not by physical tension and so forth. So I also practice, you know, many moves and things that allow me to feel that I'm moving very quickly sometimes and not being separated from the presence. We need to be there all the time. This is really a form of pray without ceasing, without words.
Yeah.
Your entire being is focused upon the reality underlying your physical form. And that's, to me, is key, you know.
Well, let's tie that back into politics, okay? Sure. We got some stuff going on in the world. You know, we got so, it's so divisive. I mean, it really doesn't matter which political party you're part of. It's divisive on both sides.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately clouds the thinking, therefore clouds reality. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard for individuals to see clearly what reality is. And I'm talking about the reality in this world, not another world yet.
Right.
But
right.
It's hard, I think, for a lot of people to make informed decisions because they're so outer focused and, mm-hmm. and not being able to tune in to their own intuitive understanding.
Well, Ken, all of that activity you just described is really mechanical. There have been studies done at Harvard that show that 95% of what we think, say, and do comes from the unconscious. You know, the unconscious, like the tip of the iceberg, that's you and your personality structure. Then there's all this other stuff hidden below. There's great glory down there, but there's also a lot of stuff, the things that we didn't understand. I'll think about that later. It drops down there, forget about it, but it's in there. So it's a kind of, you know, as spiritual practitioners, you and I, we try to avoid being in the automaton state, don't we? But politics.
Well, when you're talking about the, are you talking Carl Jung, the collective unconscious, universal?
Yeah, the personal unconscious. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the personal unconscious. Okay, personal. We as individuals, so the personal unconscious, almost everything we do is driven by the unconscious. But so can you imagine what happens when the collective is doing that? A group of people here think this way. A group over here think that way. You've got this kind of political head banging. Stay away from it. It's the worst toxicity of all, you know. So I try to avoid. I've never liked groupthink. I've never liked politicians. I don't like conversations about politics. I'm doing it here today with you because I know that we can have a great conversation that will benefit both of us and hopefully your listeners too, because this is a very dangerous time the world is in right now. So the more,
and it can be a dangerous time, and it you know, it's you know, I, from that one point of view, and yet, you know, I look at from a yogic point of view.
Yeah, I do. Me too.
We've got 12,000 years descending, 12,000 years ascending. We're at the 6 o'clock, and we're heading back up. Doesn't mean we're not going to have a lot of challenges, but you know, it's all kind of designed perfect, John. I, from my point of view, it's designed for us to somehow learn and grow out of this earth plane.
Well, it is true. I that is a very big factor for me too. But I also want to be immanent. I want to be incarnate. I want to be able to, as says in Shakespeare, set death in one eye and honor in the other, and look upon both indifferently. And Carl Jung said, reality lies at the point of tension between the opposites. The left doesn't have it. The right doesn't have it. What is the point of tension? It's your psychological self, which stands between the opposites. And if you know how to balance yourself and find the neutralizing force within yourself, you can absorb the currents of positive and negative energy into yourself, just like the light bulb. I'm looking at the light bulb here, right? You take the plug away from that. Break a prong off, stick it in the wall, nothing will happen. You put positive and negative in there together, bingo, the light comes down. The problem for spiritual people is they don't want to act. They can't release the light that's trapped inside the darkness. You can't even use the word negative. This is ridiculous, because then you've only got one prong. Right?
Well, the problem with that is if we don't embrace a negative, we never grow.
No, and Jung said, now, our task is to release the light that's trapped inside the darkness. God forms the darkness and the light. Are we going to curse the dark? Diamata said you can't get it out. You can't get darkness out of the room by beating it with a stick. You know, you have to turn on the light. But a lot of bliss bunnies think, oh, you know, I'm so spiritual, you know, and they're pure spirits on earth floating around on a perfume cloud and everything. They can't knock a nail in a piece of wood. I mean, come on. You know, we've got to be practical spiritual people, spiritual warriors who can look the world in the eye. And when something isn't working, it isn't right, and say, no, I'm not going to buy into that. And when something is, I'm saying, well, I'm going to sweat away because this looks so positive and good. I'm going to balance the two within myself. And hopefully we can find the neutralizing, the third force, which is in the atoms of our body. You've got the electron and the proton, and they're doing this. They're positive and negative in every atom of your body right now. And the neutron is the neutralizing force that calms those down. When we meditate, Ken, as you and I have done for years, what happens is the neutron increases and it calms down the positive and the negative. So when you're looking at the political situation doing this, if you can see it for what it is, not go, right? You drop down into the depths of yourself. Feel the peaceful power that is our true nature, what my wife Emily calls her column of calm, and then you can look upon both indifferently and make a conscious decision. If you're simply reactive, then you're caught up in the machine.
100%. And I love the analogy, John. I think that you know, if you're a positron or a negative, what did you say? A proton?
Proton or a neutron?
Or a neutron.
Proton and electron. Sorry, neutron. Electron and proton do the dance. Okay,
so if you're an electron or a proton, okay, you're, you know, to balance yourself, you know, it's increasing the neutrons. Is that what I heard?
Increasing the neuton. Absolutely. Yeah, that's just where wisdom is. Because that's duality. And also you've got your amygdala, your left and your right amygdala. One's like a left politician, the other's like a right politician. One says, oh, we can do everything. The other says, no, hold on a minute here. So
I got to take a break. We come back. John, I want to ask you how we change the world. How does somebody change the world that's sitting listening to this right now?
Sure.
Okay, a lot of people want to change the world.
This is hot stuff, yeah.
We'll be right back.
The fourth one.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call, so please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'll get back with my guest, John Maxwell Taylor. He'll talk about how you can change the world. And before I do that, I want to remind everybody to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe if you haven't already. You've heard me say this a few times. When you subscribe, you'll not only get all of our shows, you won't miss a show, but you'll also be able to be of service to family, friends, and people you care about. You can forward these shows to them. They can start to listen, learn, upshift their own thinking, consciousness, and do your part to make a difference in this world. So I hope you'll take me up on that. And back to my guest, John Maxwell Taylor.
Yes.
Here with me today. And John has a new book out, by the way. I just did want to mention it before we get into how you can change the world. His book is... John, you can tell him the title. Here's a little hard for me to read. What is it?
Yogananda, Gurdjieff, Jung, and I Am: My Adventures in Life and Consciousness.
I love that. Love that. Beautiful book. And John, before I get totally into the book, I want to know, because I know that it's in this book here. How does somebody change the world, okay, brother? How do they change the world?
Well, I printed out this quote from a book called In Search of the Miraculous by Uspensky, which I've carried with me for 50-odd years. I love this. Now, this is radical stuff, it's beautifully written. Everything in life happens. No one is doing anything. All our deeds, actions, words, thoughts, feelings, convictions, opinions, and habits are the result of external influences and external impressions. Establishing this fact for oneself, understanding it, and being convinced of it, its truth, means getting rid of 1,000 illusions about consciously organizing our lives. There is nothing of the kind. Everything happens. Popular movements, wars, revolutions, changes of government, all this happens. And it happens in exactly the same way as everything happens in the life of individual man. Man is born, lives, dies, builds houses, writes books, not as he wants to, but as it happens. Everything happens. Man does not love, hate, or desire. All this happens. Now, I've been in states of consciousness where I've seen this with my own eyes, and I've written about it in my autobiography. There is a state of consciousness that can come over one. It's like a switch gets thrown, right? Many spiritual people, doing spiritual practices, it's like they rewiring their house, but the master electrician never throws the switch. When that switch gets thrown, even if it's only for 5 minutes, you see that everything in life is just happening. Nobody's doing anything. Now, this is not a popular thing to say to people, because particularly for we Americans, and I'm a Yankee Doodle too, you know, I got rid of my British citizenship happily some time ago, right? America is a country that develops naturally on a ray of optimism. It's a can-do nation. In World War II, the Brits were able to hang on to Hitler's foot with their bulldog breed mentality. But it was only when the Americans came to Europe with General Patton and so forth that we pushed forward and pushed Hitler back where he belonged, into the garbage can of history. You know, so this can-do spirit is very important to Americans. But the thing is, when you're in that state I was talking about and you see it, there is such joy because you see that the divine intelligence is in charge and is doing everything. And it's like we're in a play, a cosmologically produced play, and we're all actors and we're all playing these roles. Like now, as I'm this speaking is going on here, in the background of my consciousness, I know that I am not speaking. Speaking is happening. I am making myself available for that to be delivered through this camera, through this microphone, into your studio. Right. The problem for people is they think, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. They take all that energy onto themselves of struggle. And it's very debilitating. Now, the calmness that you talked about in your introduction, it can be there in the midst of activity. But thinking that I've got to do it, I've got to do it, that weakens you. But if you think I'm making myself available for the doing to happen through me, and the way you place yourself within yourself and where your consciousness is while you're in the world doing apparently what we're doing, it changes the quality of what is being done through you.
So what I would say is instead of thinking that I'm doing all of this, we step back, and maybe we even step back again as the observer of life, with all of everything is available at that point to be able to move through your life, instead of a doer, more of an observer than a chooser. Is that what
you're participating willingly. It's what I use is something that I picked up is the philosophy of as if. You act as if you have free will, as if you are doing, but in the background of your conscious, you know it's all a joke. You know, this is why saints laugh. They think this person's so worried about this and so upset about this, that, and the other. And it's all the joke. It's all the play of Maya, the cosmic illusion. God's moving us around, you know, with his intention. How did I meet my wife? How did you meet Judy? Did you do that? Did you have breakfast this morning, Ken? Your food's digesting. Are you doing that? Is your hair growing? You're nodding your head. Are you doing that? No, you're nodding your head because something's making you nod your head, right? When you do this, the pressure is off. It's like you never made a mistake because you didn't actually do it. It just happened. But you have to put it in somewhere in your mind, well, that didn't work out so well, so I won't let that doing happen again. Does this make sense?
Well, there's another, you know, one of the things that I, when, you know, one of the affirmations I use is I relax and I cast aside all mental burdens, right? Mm-hmm. Or am I casting it aside to you? Am I casting it aside to this observer, this God within that it's the doer, not me. As soon as I let go of this, I have to do this, I have to do that. I got my big list here. I've got to go over here and do. As soon as that can go away, I become supercharged.
You find yourself tingling all over with lightness and vitality and energy.
100%.
Yeah, but 100%. There's a book that Emily picks up by a woman
Emily
who is
your wife, John.
Wife, Emily. Yes, a book called "How We Move, How We Sit, How We Stand," and it's by a teacher of the Alexander Technique. And a concert pianist came to her. He was in trouble. He was starting to stumble and blow it in the middle of concerts with orchestras, right? So she had the guy sit at the piano and she say, okay, now I want you to sit there and do what you normally do, but I want you to be mentally thinking, I am not playing the piano. I am not playing the piano. In other words, playing the piano was allowed to happen without him. He was getting in his own way.
Yeah.
We do that.
Right. And when we get, you know, here it's interesting because, you know, I'm an athlete, right? So I'll go out and I'll get on my bike and get prepared and whatever, right? I get out there and, you know, at first I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking about what I need to do, what I have to do, what, you know, where the break is. And, but at one point, all of that goes away.
Yes.
And I'm just the observer and just, and that's where the joy comes. That's mm-hmm. where the happiness is. That's where everything opens up. So usually I'm, you know, when I start out, I'm in this tunnel vision. But as soon as I step back, it's like I have a 360 degree view.
Right. This is a very important point because our souls are omnipresent. Mm-hmm. You know that chant of Yogananda is omnipresent. I am om, all pervading. That's who we are. That's what we are. You know, and to limit that to thinking, oh, I'm worried about this or I'm obsessing about this political thing or the other. You know, it's a waste of time. Waste of time.
Okay, so I got to take another break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about how do we take this knowledge, this wisdom, mm-hmm. and apply it. Let's say we got a goal to go buy a new house. We got a goal to get in a relationship. We got a goal to become enlightened, whatever the goal is. Okay, I want to ask you how we could apply some of these principles we're talking about, so in a practical way.
That's great.
Okay,
love it. Yes.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster, and I'll be right back with my guest, John Maxwell Taylor, in just a second. Do you have what it takes to step into courage and make the changes that you would so like to see in your world? Well, I'm hoping you said yes. And there is a book out there that I've written. It's called The Courage to Change Everything, Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken What John and I Are Talking About Today, that inner wisdom, that inner knowing, that inner being, that inner vibration, God, love that's within you. Well, we all forget because we live in this reality and delusion, but this book will help you every single day to tune into that wisdom. It's filled with quotes from the wisest people on the planet and specific questions to help focus you in the direction of your dreams. Hope you'll pick it up. CourageToChange.us is where you can get it. CourageToChange.us. All righty, back to my guest, John Maxwell Taylor. All right, John, how do we apply this stuff practically?
Well, the first thing and most important for me personally is that I am doing something every second of the day from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed at night to feel some kind of connection with the aspect of the subtle underlying reality behind the form that appears to be John Maxwell Taylor. I often say I'm here incognito disguised as myself, right? So when I have to engage with something, like I'm talking to you right now, I can be dynamic, I can quote Shakespeare, I can do this, that, and the other. But at the same time, I'm aware of this tingling vibration all through my body, this deep sense of presence in my hara, as the Aikido masters call it, the belly and so forth. If I want to, I can put my mind in my spine. In other words, because our natures are omnipresent, no matter what we're doing, there should be some awareness of that divinity, that divine aspect of ourselves in the midst of activity. Being conscious, does not mean that you've read a lot of books and you have a lot of spiritual ideas. It means that you can place your attention wherever you want inside yourself at any particular moment, any point in the day, and feel the power of the divine flowing through you. And when you do that, then the doing really happens. You find yourself, why have I just met this incredible person? Look at the doors that are opening up here, the doors of opportunity. Here's a situation that wasn't working out so well. Maybe I need to let it go. Yes, I can let it go, and so forth. Wisdom isn't knowing, having a lot of thoughts in your head. It's having an awareness of the stillness that you talked about in the beginning, which is just behind the scenes all the time. So as you see, I'm deliberately stepping on the gas of my personal expression right now. I could throw in some Shakespeare. I could do impersonations.
I want you to throw in Shakespeare. I want to ask you a question, man. Here's what I want to know. Okay, so it's a lot of people that are listening right now are going, Don's talking about the divine, and everybody has a different concept of what the divine is, right? How do you define that?
Purity of heart, omnipresent love, a feeling that my reality, as I'm sitting in this room right now, I can feel the unreality of the walls around this room. It's a beautiful room. I look at it, but I can also feel my spirit passing through those walls. And right now I'm aware of the garden out there next door and so forth. I can put it behind myself. There's an exercise that Yogananda gives. You've done it many times. And when you meditate, where you extend yourself thousands of miles behind, 1,000 miles in front, whatever, you this is what omnipresence means. It means that basically, when you practice this type of thing and it becomes second nature to you, wherever you go, you're walking through the energy field of your own omnipresence, the omnipresence of your soul. I wouldn't even use the term the observer myself, because that has actually disappeared. Now, you've got to be very careful with this, because there are Advaita people who practice emptiness, right? And so there's an emptiness knock, knock joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? Vacant, you see. There's a practice in the esoteric aspect of Christianity that they used to use in the Middle Ages called apatheia. It's taking an apathetic attitude towards your personality. And you sometimes see spiritual people like that. They're weak in life. They have wonderful aspirations. They do spiritual practices, but life tends to overpower them. So we need to fully inhabit our personalities, be able to play the fool if we want to, like I do sometimes, or sing or dance, whatever, and do it fully, completely. Whatever you're doing, do it fully with joy. But at the same time, you're aware that you can even say,
well, you know,
you can even
pray
then, hang on. You can even say, I'm not doing this. We are doing it together. This wonderful omnipresent feeling manifesting through Ken Foster, through John, that we're doing. This is the divine friendship. Father, friend, you know, Heavenly Father, Yogananda's prayer, Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, friend, beloved God, right? So it's making this stuff very, very, very practical. I mean, I'm living here with my wife, who is a Taurus, and I'm a Gemini, so I'm an air sign, right? The communicator, the messenger of the gods, if you will. But you need to be grounded. My father was a Taurus. My sister was a Taurus. My first wife was a Taurus. Emily's a Taurus. Why? Because they're grounded. I always say, Emily holds the kite string while I fly about.
And my wife Judy is a Taurus.
Yeah, well, lucky man. Then, you know, they can be very beautiful,
very
too.
Lucky man.
You know,
very, very lucky man. Yeah. Listen, there. You know, one of the aspects of this then is the ability to let go of past resentments or harms or guilt or shame.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't do it. It just happened.
Okay. But a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah, well, it's true. But once you get that seed planted in your head, and look, it's all in my book. When I started out on my spiritual journey, I was stuck in all those kind of things. But what happened was that I had all these experiences. When you have direct experience of what this consciousness is really all about, it relieves you of tremendous burdens. You remember in I was 6 years old at school, and they read to us from The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan about a man who's got a burden on his back and he's trying to walk to the celestial city, and he falls into the slough of despondency and despair, and he meets ogres and giants and so forth, and he was on this journey. What is that burden? That burden is what we are carrying around with ourselves from the experiences that weren't so positive in life and gave us a negative self-image of ourselves. So all that has to go. And the quickest way to become detached from all that is to fully throw your consciousness on the divine, however you sense it within yourself, or whatever name you give it, to keep your mind and your consciousness there 24 hours a day. Emily, my wife, God bless her, she's on it with me. She does the same thing. In fact, she's even more disciplined than I am, you know? But we love it because it's so empowering for both of us. And this, as I said earlier, when you change your position in yourself, the quality of the doing that is being done through you in life ramps up exponentially.
I love it. Listen, the book is Yogananda. If you haven't seen it, Yogananda, Gurdjieff, who is it?
Jung.
Jung and I.
That doesn't mean me, John Maxwell Taylor. It means the I am that I am, right? Yeah. So it's when you're rooted in that, things change exponentially.
Amazing. John, let me ask you this. What does Yogananda, Gurdjieff, and Jung all have in common?
Well, they represent different aspects of we need to look at within ourselves. You know, Yogananda tilts us towards the transcendent and the bliss and the joy. Everything good that has happened to me in my life since 1967 is because that's when I met Yogananda, and it was like an exponential change. But as I talk about in the book, after about 3.5 years of Yogananda said, if you do his practices as they're given in the SRF lessons, you will know God in 3.5 years. And I took him at his word. After 3 years of that, I'm living on the island of Anglesey, practically a hermit. I'm fasting all the time. I'm having all these amazing experiences of bliss, but something is going on. The island of Anglesey was the last refuge of the Druids. When the Romans invaded Wales, they pushed the old culture back onto the island of Anglesey. And then they came across on Pontoon Bridge, came over and they killed off all the Druids, right? So the energy of Anglesey, which is a very holy place, the main town there is called Holyhead, right? It's a power point. It's tremendous energy, positive energy there, but also the unresolved energy from what was left behind from the old days with the Druids when they had their terrible time there. So that was beginning to affect me, and I didn't realize what it was. And something said to me, you know, John, something's not right here. You need to study psychology. So I went to the little library, and lo and behold, they had Carl Jung's autobiography, Memory, Dreams, Reflections. So I took it home with me. And on the way, I passed a newsagent and I bought the Radio Times. And I opened it and it said, Sunday night, BBC television, part one of a 3-part documentary about the life of Carl Jung. So I start to read the book and I watch the documentary. I mean, how synchronistic is that? Talk about synchronicity, right? So I'm watching Jung and I'm absolutely fascinated and I'm deeply into the book. When I would read the book, I'd feel almost that he was sitting in a chair in the room across from me. It was that profound. In the second installment of the video, they showed a portrait that Jung had done of his own shadow, a frightened little man crouching in the corner of a checkered room. Now, I didn't quite understand what that was, but as I read more, I began to realize, yes, I've been suppressing my shadow. I've been denying my human self, trying to be pure spirit on earth, trying to be the pure yogi man and so forth. What about my primal self? What about that side that's in my unconscious that I see now is characterized as a shadow by Jung? The night of after the last episode, I'm in bed. And I have a dream, and I wake up in the dream. I think I'm asleep, but I think I'm awake. And I go outside the bungalow I'm living in, and there's a mist. And out of the mist comes this big creature like Bigfoot, and it grabbed me, and I started to wrestle with it. I tried to cry out, but I couldn't speak, you know, and words wouldn't come. And I was terrified. But then this thought came to me. This is your shadow. Remember, you have to integrate and accept your shadow. And in that moment, I let go of struggling and it collapsed sobbing in me.
I got to pay a bill. Hold that story. I'll be right back. Hold it. Just hold it 1 second.
What a place to break. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology, many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Ken Foster. Go, John. Go. Get that story.
All right. Okay. So I had this dream, and yes, I've integrated, embraced my shadow, my dark side. All of a sudden, there's a bang and a flash of light, and I wake up. It felt like an explosion in my head, and I wake up, and there it is. It's morning already, and I thought, what happened? Did something hit the roof? I get out of bed, go outside, and round on the gutter and the tiles from the roof behind the place where the head of my bed was had all been flung down on the floor. That's how much energy it takes to shut out that side of ourselves that we, as aspiring spiritual people, we think is something to be avoided. So Carl Jung helped me to integrate my shadow, and it released the light that was trapped inside the darkness and helped me to become an integrated spiritual person. God is both the darkness and the light. It gave me this balance and this power, which is the bedrock on which I've stood for since 1973.
100%. How about Gurdjieff?
Well, Gurdjieff is the, as I read from that quote, that was Gurdjieff who said this stuff about how mechanical we all are. The thing with Gurdjieff is it teaches you how not to get caught up in the mechanical stuff. Because I talk about this in the book. After I'd had that experience, I go out into the village and I see everybody walking around in a trance. Nobody's doing anything. I saw it myself. And those states, you know, they can only come, I said earlier, a lot of spiritual people, they practice, but they're rewiring the house and no one ever throws the switch and lets them see what it really is, right? So in my book, I'm relating all of these experiences so people will know what they are. And when it starts to happen to you, they will know what they are and be able to take full advantage.
I love that because it comes full circle to, you know, what I shared in the monologue, which was what Dr. Urban Laszlo said, you know, when I asked him, what's the price of greatness? Know who you are and live from a place of oneness. Oneness meaning the deep meaning of that. We are a holograph. We are, the micro and the macro. Right. We are everything in between. And that's what John said. John, I've got about 3 minutes here. I'm going to give you those 3 minutes. What would you like to actually... 2 minutes, 2.5. What would you like to share with our audience? Those that are watching here, what their next steps are. I know I want them to go get your book, of course. Go get the book on Amazon. And again, it's Yogananda, Gurdjieff, and Jung, and I Am. Amazon, John Maxwell Taylor. So I want to say that. But go ahead. Last few minutes.
Well, you can read all the wonderful reviews that I've had from people who bought it on Amazon. You know, the theme that recurs over, what a life this guy has had. You know, and as a songwriter, a composer of music, and a playwright and an actor, I try to put everything into the book that will keep it entertaining, informative, but at the same time transmit the vibration of consciousness. I even talk there about when I was on Hawaii with a girlfriend. And I was, something happened. I said something and it triggered a consciousness experience. She went and stood on the beach and she said, now I get it. She says, it's all me and it's all just flowing all the time. And it's perfect unity. And I didn't need to worry about anything ever, you know. So hopefully that's something of what we've said today is going to be helping to generate that within people. And I thank you for your introduction was great. It was great. You set it up beautifully.
Thank you, man. I love you, John. Thank you for being here, being part of this, you know, energy, frequency, vibration. Did you feel, John? I hope you did. I know I do.
I'm sending it now.
The audience will.
I'm sending it now.
Thank you, all of you, for watching today. It's been another amazing show, and I hope you will subscribe to our YouTube channel up there, and I'll put it up on the screen one more time. Subscribe. There's our address there. You can go to youtube.com. I can't really read it from where my point is, but you can see it on your screen. So go ahead and subscribe and pass this show on to family and friends and people that you really love and care about. From my heart to yours, continue to see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. Take care till next time.